Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Father, have your way within this service this morning. Lord God, help us, Father, to submit ourselves unto you, Lord, this morning. Father, have your way, Lord, as we try to speak your word and make an effort to yield our vessels over. Let us speak and let others hear and take heed to the things they hear, lest at any time they would let them slip. Father, we love you. We thank you with a great expectation of you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Lord, we ask you, be with the Lamberts as they travel this morning, try and do something for thy name's sake. Father, bless them, anoint them, Lord God, and let them be used to win a soul, Father, this day. We love you and thank you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You can all be seated. Y'all love the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. I want you to open up to the Gospel of Matthew this morning. We'll just begin there at the first verse of Matthew, the 24th chapter. Says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." We're going to go on here just a minute, but that's a scripture that many people have really used as an urgency to go into all the world preaching the gospel for that the end could come. Don't believe that the gospel has gone throughout all of the world. Amen. We could say that all the signs and all these things have been fulfilled. By looking into these scriptures right here, we could say there isn't one thing that we read right here in these first 14 verses of this 24th chapter. Those things, brothers and sisters, every one of them things we've seen and taken place in the world. So we say, well, then the end could come because these things have been fulfilled. Let's read on now just a little bit more. It says, "When ye therefore shall see abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." Whosoever readeth, let him understand. I'm going to read it again. I remember going to an Assembly of God preacher over in Oklahoma, and I asked him, I said, "Brother, I need you to help me to understand something. I said, what is this abomination of desolation?" And he said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I said, "Well, it's in the New Testament, it's spoken, and even in the Old Testament." And he goes, "I have no idea what you're talking about. Is this to show a bad light towards this man?" I use that as an example. This was a man been ministering the gospel for years. And when I went to him and asked him this question, he said he didn't know what I was speaking of. But then yet we find an exhortation from the Lord coming to us, to telling us that we need to understand this. It says, "When therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." And we'll come back to that. "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, we call the ministry here at Christian Temple Church the ministry of the present day application. Brother Pike, say a present day truth. And I would say, yes, we would like to number ourselves with the ministry of a present day truth. The thing is this same passage of scriptures, there's been many theologians and many prophets, we might say, that have taken and given their life to the study of the scriptures and the word. And they'll take us in and show us what's happening in our present day. And the things that are happening within the world government and the world order, things that are happening in the Arab nations and the Muslim communities and different things, the things that are happening. And they say it's all pointing to right here what we spoke about. And they talk about the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one day the sky is going to roll back like a scroll, amen? And he's going to appear in the heavenlies, and he's going to come back and set up a government and a leadership and a rule right here on this earth. And they've taught it out of context. What they're teaching is true, but they're not teaching it in a proper differentiation. They've got the church people yearning and longing for the returning of God. Now, I know we speak about this a lot, brothers and sisters. That's a dangerous doctrine. It doesn't matter what kind of Pentecostal church, what kind of Baptist church, what kind of Methodist church. They're all pretty much saying the same thing. They're all waiting on the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not going to be the context of my message. You're very well indoctrinated in that. And it's wrong and it's error. It deferred hope and it sickeneth the heart. And that's the reason that the churches in America and throughout the world are in a sickened condition. Because they're deferred hope. They're waiting on a Messiah. They're waiting on a God. They're waiting on salvation. They're waiting on a Savior. They're waiting on redemption. Brothers and sisters, that's error. We don't want to take, and I'll say this because just to make sure that we got things understood, we do not want to take the power of a living God away from us today. We don't want to take the visitation of God away from us today. We don't want to take God being alive today away from us today. We don't want to say that he's not here in our day in need today, brothers and sisters. And if we keep on talking about we're waiting on him, it's because we have not found him and we're not walking in his power, amen. And when you're walking in his power and you're fellowshipping with him, and you're in love with him and supping with him and him with you and him within you and you within him, then you're not talking about this longing and yearning for your salvation and your Savior. You see, it's just a manifestation of a lack of people being full of God's Spirit and having his Spirit because it's a deferred hope they're waiting on his coming. Amen. Now, I'll say this to sow up that thought. He is coming. He's not coming back in the same image that he walked the earth in. He's not going to come back to be mocked and ridiculed and spit in his face. He's not going to come back and be beaten. He's not coming back in that same form. The Bible commands us as the church and as the saints of God not to even know him after that in the way that he did come. When we take the crucifix and we stick it up on the wall and have a stripped off God, Savior, hanging on that thing, that is an abomination. That's wrong. We maybe found our life there by him being stripped and beaten and killed is where I found life. But that was the most humiliating, shameful thing that you could do. The Bible says and teaches very clear. When you think of the crucifixion, there wasn't any more of a degrading way to kill a man than to be crucified. That's what they did with all the thieves and the robbers and the murderers. It said, any man that hangeth upon a tree in the crucifixion, it said, let him be accursed. Cursed is anything, the Bible says, that hangeth upon a tree. Jesus Christ came and took the curse, brothers and sisters. And he took that Son of Man to the cross of Calvary, was beaten and killed and put to death. Thank God for the resurrection. But brothers and sisters, we look back to the cross in faith and hope and salvation. And knowing that's where it came from. But we don't crucify him afresh And out of the hideous thing of that death, of being on the cross, is yes, where we got life, but we shouldn't keep him stripped off upon that shameful thing. We need to see him in the resurrection, amen. We need to see him in the resurrection, out of the tomb, walking in a different form. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible said God appearing in another form, amen. They did not recognize him when he walked among the earth with them just days after that crucifixion. He walked among the 12 and they did not recognize him. He walked among some of the disciples and they said their heart burned within them. Brothers and sisters, you got to realize that the one that walked along after the resurrection, brothers and sisters, was different than the one that was beaten and spit upon. Amen. And you say it was all one and the same God, and I say yea and amen. It was most definitely, or it wouldn't have been a true resurrection. But in the resurrection, you're not the same. It's not resurrecting mortality. Resurrection is immortality, brothers and sisters. Resurrection isn't the corruptible image of sin. The Bible said that Jesus came in the image of sin. Amen. And when he resurrected, he was no longer the image of sin, brothers and sisters. It was the image of a living, resurrected God. Hallelujah. With eternal life and all power. Amen. This God is no longer going to be spitting on, no longer going to be beaten, and no longer those things. And see, the church world is carnal minded, which is enmity with God and death, and they're looking for this long-haired God to come back and walk among the earth. It's because they never saw him in the resurrection, and they're not full of the power of the living God in this day and hour. My God has returned, my God has come. Amen. Or he would be a liar, and I'm not going to serve a false God that lies. Amen. He said, it's expedient that I go back to the Father, that I could come back to you and send the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, the Bible said these three are one. Amen. It's all one and the same God. The Bible said the same resurrection power that was in Jesus Christ shall dwell within your mortal body and change you in the moment, a twinkling of an eye, and you are in the resurrection and children of the resurrection. Amen. So the thing is we got to believe the Word of God. And he said that if they would go and tarry there in Jerusalem, that they would receive power, brothers and sisters. The power they received is the power of the Holy Ghost, the power to live an overcoming life, the power to change you, brothers and sisters. And when you are born again, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the old things have passed away, amen, because of the power of the Holy Ghost and mortifying the deeds of your first birth, of the Adamic nature of Adam, and coming forth that quickening spirit of Jesus Christ in you, amen. The Bible said the first man, Adam, being a living soul, but the second man, Adam, being a quickening spirit. Now, so when we speak like this, and we're speaking about the end of the world, when is it going to come, Brother Rob? I'm speaking about Jesus Christ has come. You say, well, Brother Rob, I don't believe the rapture is taking place. Well, somebody's going to have to come give me some Bible for rapture. Somebody help me. Can anybody get a concordance out and show me one verse that says rapture in it anywhere in that Bible? Okay, so now we're going to have to start over then. I know what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the transfiguration. I teach translation, transformation, and transfiguration. Body, soul, spirit. So I understand transfiguration. I understand rapture. If we use the term rapture and keep it in proper context, brothers and sisters, you're going to have to understand three. Body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, natural, physical, spiritual, water, blood, and spirit. If you can't understand rapture in those three, but you see, when you're carnal minded, you'll only understand it in one way, and that is a bodily perspective. But who is the body of God? You say the church. I say, okay. Or if we're the body of Christ, are we here? Come on now, think about it. Oh yeah, but that's not what we're speaking about. Well, then what are you speaking about? If you're looking for a rapture, then what is your rapture? The Bible says transfiguration, to wit the redemption of the body, to be caught away. Well, let me tell you what my Bible says that I read. It said that I'm already dwelling in heavenly places. Amen. Are you going to believe the word? Amen. Where do you live at? Some of you live in hell. Oh, come on, Brother Rob, you're not going to just do away with eternal damnation and hell and do away with the heavenly hope and this beautiful place that we're going to change and go to someday and bring it all into the right now. I'm going to do that. And you say, Brother Rob, you can't do that. I'm going to do that. But that doesn't mean that there's not eternal damnation and a lake of fire. It does not mean that there is a world that has been through the metamorphosis and the transfiguration. Let me tell you something. When you look at this body right here of this man, you're looking at A lying vanity is what the Bible says. I can't look at this man. I cannot look at this man and walk in faith and hope and walk in the Spirit and led by the Spirit. If I look to this man, I'm going to feel the aging, the pains and the aches. I'm going to feel the infirmities of the flesh and of the world. I'm going to feel the remorse. I'm going to feel the sufferings. I'm going to feel the animosities and the strife and the jealousies and the envies. I'm going to feel all of the things that are relative to the flesh. And I'm commanded to stay away from those things. So I can't look to this man. I can't do that. I have to look into the Spirit. So I got to believe what the Word of God says. The Word is Spirit. The Word is truth. So I got to read the Word and believe what the Word says. Faith, again, being a substance of things hoped for and things not seen. But it brings an evidence. What is the evidence? What is the evidence of the resurrection right now today? I can't wait for this 2,000-year God come in 2,000 years. I need an evidence today of the resurrection. There's people, deferred hope, sickened at the heart. There's people falling away because they say, man, I've heard about this God and I heard about this resurrection. I heard about this Savior that's coming. Where's He at? He's in the midst. He's here. Where's heaven? We're dwelling in it. The Bible says we're sitting in heavenly places. Are you going to believe the Word? Yeah, but this earth is full of curses and full of sorrows and those things. Oh yeah, and we're acquainted with those things just as Jesus was. Where's your heaven at? But Brother Rob, heaven's up. Heaven's up there. It is. Well, I don't know on this little round ball that's floating around here in the space, we might say. Where's its foundation? And this thing's floating around. And I got a guy in Australia said, yeah, heaven's up. I got a guy over in Japan, heaven's up. I got a guy over in Israel, heaven's up. And I got a guy over in America, heaven's up. And they're all pointing in different directions when you're on a round ball. Which one of them's right? How far do we have to go to find it? Where's it at out there? You see, there's no understanding in the carnal mind, brothers and sisters. When you go that way, you know what you find? Darkness and outer darkness and more darkness. Do you understand that? As soon as you break the atmosphere of this earth, you know, the sun's out there, there's nothing to shade it, but you find yourself in darkness. When you go out and look at the spaceship that's out there, it's always in darkness. Except the sun hits it and illuminates on it. There's a revelation in that. So I brought it out here from the sacred desk. But where's your heaven at? Let's stay with the Word of God. What did it say when Jesus went on the Mount of Transfiguration? They say that took place in Israel on Mount Tabor. That's where the ritualistics all go. They go up on the Mount Tabor, right outside of Judea there in the mountains. And he goes right up in those mountains. And you find that this is where they're saying that he was at. I told you some say it was on Mount Hermon, which is just a little bit up north there in the northern part. Not too far from the Sea of Galilee with a perpetual snowfall around. Some would say because they said it seemed exceeding white as snow there. And they think that maybe the witnesses there who are comparing it to even the snow-topped mountains. That's the highest elevation right there that you can go to in Israel. And it said it was in an exceedingly high place. So it could be in Mount Hermon, but does it matter? This is what happens. People get chiding over those kind of things. But let me tell you what matters, amen, is that they saw the resurrection, amen. They saw the resurrection before the crucifixion, amen. Jesus was standing there outshining the noonday sun. If you want to get down to disputes like that, there was only three the Bible recorded that saw that. And if you would have been at Mount Tabor, it was a highly populated thing at the time when Jesus was there. And they went off into a place and there would have been many people that would have witnessed that. But you see, he saw him in another form. Saw our God. Saw Moses and Elijah there with him. They was going to make three tabernacles. He said, God forbid. No, got reproved. We're not making three tabernacles, one. But how did they record that they saw him? It said that they saw him in glory. Where's glory? What is glory? Okay, so the scriptures say that, not knowing whether I was in body nor in spirit, but 14 years ago I was in the third heaven. So now we have three heavens to deal with. Where is your third heaven at? I thought we was talking about the end of the world. That's what I'm trying to do, is get your end of your little religious world of human reasoning and carnality. That's why you can't serve God and live God, because there's too many things you don't understand. And the Bible said when you have a lack of knowledge, you die like a man. That's why we try to bring understanding to you. Most people live in such a make-believe religious realm because they're trying to believe something they don't understand and don't know. Yes, faith comes in to help us in those areas. I understand that. But brothers and sisters, there's so much foolishness being taught about a loving God. You know, and oh boy, our Savior, He's love. Our Savior's so great. Well, if He's so much love, why did He leave you here on this earth for 2,000 years to be beaten and to be ridiculed and to be smitten and all those things if He's such an awesome Savior? You see, it don't fit. Why would a God leave you here for 2,000 years? Why? When He said when He was here walking among you that He wouldn't do that. It's expedient. I go to the Father that I can send the Holy Ghost. And then we find recorded in the Word of God that there was 10 days later that they were there. And they received power, brothers and sisters. What kind of power did they receive? They received the power, the infilling of God. You see, we got to get away from natural. If you want a God sitting out there on a big chair somewhere that is going to be taken and set in authority and set and rule over this earth, then you're going to be numbered with the natural Jew and you will go through tribulation. The things we read here speaking about tribulation, brothers and sisters, have already all taken place if you're walking in the Spirit and led by the Spirit of God and understand spiritual things. Every single thing that I read has taken place and is taking place. God was, God is, and God is to come. And the God that is, and these things are happening now. If you're waiting for an Antichrist to come on this earth and set up rule and reign, you've done missed it. He is running and ruling the world now. The Bible said that He is the God of this world and the prince and the power of this air. And the Bible said there's many Antichrists among you. Can't you believe the Word of God? Oh, but we would rather get with some theologian that has been in college all of his life and says, oh yeah, you know, he's going to come over here in Syria, you know, and he's going to set up over there. And that's the abomination of desolation when he goes over there to the temple over here in Jerusalem. But they got to rebuild this temple and they're going to rebuild this thing. And he's going to come set up over there and there's the abomination of desolation. And there's our tribulation period setting in and this and that. Are they right? Yes, but not for you. That's for the natural elect of God. That's for the Jew. The Jews are the ones that denied Him. The Jews are the ones that didn't accept Him. The Jews were the religious ones of that day and hour. They were the cream of the crop. They were the ones that they worshiped daily in the synagogues. They were the ones that were talking and speaking and prophesying about the Messiah, the coming of God. And He came and they rejected Him and killed Him. You understand that? That's not your hope. That's not my hope. I've said this numerous times, brothers and sisters, and I'll keep on speaking it and preaching God's word when He tells me to preach it. The Bible speaks about this returning of the Lord Jesus coming back on this earth in that transfigured body as the great and terrible day of the Lord. Why would we put our hope in this God that's going to come back on this earth, that there won't be one stone standing upon another? Why would we put our hope in this God that said if them days wasn't held back for a time, there would be no flesh? Right now we're in a dispensation of grace. We can see our family members that are lost and drug addicts and drunkards and whoremongers. And we can see the grace of God still here and gives them hope. But let me tell you something. The great and terrible day of the Lord, the blood is taken off the mercy seat and He's coming in vengeance. Even the appearing of Him, the blood is going to run to the horse's bridle 5 feet deep. Why would we be sitting here as the saints of God saying, oh, we're yearning and longing for that day. If we're yearning for that kind of a thing, why don't we get our weapons of mass destruction out and just annihilate everything? Because that's what's going to happen at the coming of the Lord. Do you understand that? What kind of things have we been taught all of our life? You see, that's the returning to the Jew. The Jew's the natural elect. But the Bible said the true Jew is the spirit Jew. That's what I am. And I hope and pray that's what you are. And the way you become that is by being birthed into the kingdom of God. So we're spiritual. We serve a spiritual God. We walk in the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We fellowship in the Spirit. We hear in the Spirit. Jesus was speaking with audible words when He was stung among them. And He said, though you have ears, you don't hear. Though you have eyes, you don't see. Why would He be talking like that when they're looking at Him and they're hearing Him? Because He wasn't interested in the natural world. He was after a spiritual bride. And they rejected Him. So now we got to turn things around. We find that the kingdom of God is now according to the Bible. See, they didn't understand when Jesus said it. He said the kingdom's now. He said the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, we find in the scriptures the kingdom of God is within us. We're in the kingdom of God. The Bible says we're dwelling in heavenly places. If two or three come together in His name, that He's in the midst. How can I read the scriptures and I believe that some of you came here in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning? And how can I say that He's off on some planet somewhere? What kind of ignorance is that? That's what kills hope and faith, brothers and sisters. I know where my God's at. Are you so carnal when we think of doubting Thomas? Are you full of so much doubt and unbelief that you got to be like Thomas? Well, I'll believe in him when I can put my finger in the nail print in his hand. I'll believe in him when I can see the scar in his side. Are you that carnal? See, you can only know God and please God and serve God by faith. It's not going to be that way. And the day that you see him coming that way, the chenoo and everything will fall right off of your bones, amen, by the consuming power of a living God, amen. And you're going to be thinking that, oh, that's when I'll get right, because then I can see my God, I can see my Savior coming to the earth, and I can praise him and I can worship him. If you're going to praise God and you're going to worship God, you better do it now, amen, hallelujah. Why, the blood's on the mercy seat and you've got a chance. Amen. Other than that, you ain't got a chance. You better get right with God. Get out of your religious vomit. There's so much religious foolishness. You can't speak like that. Well, then you tell me what it's like out there. I know that God's moving out there, and I know that there's preachers that got the spirit of life and doing the best that they know and preaching the word, and people are being saved. But I'm talking about, if you're going to weigh out what I'm saying, is thus saith the Lord, and it's the truth. The churches in America and throughout this world have turned just like the Bible prophesied, said, and they just become hirelings. That's what they do, hirelings. It's another job. Granddaddy was a preacher. Daddy was a preacher. Oh man, this is what I'm supposed to be. The calling don't come through blood loins, brothers and sisters. The election doesn't come that way. Your daddy might have been a great saint of God, and you can go to hell. Your daddy might have been a devil himself, and you could break that curse and have life. That birthing doesn't come through the loins of humanity. That birthing comes through the seed of life in Christ Jesus. It's, the Bible says, it's that seed that remaineth in you. So what we're doing is speaking about in the scriptures here. And even when we read Matthew here, we're talking about the natural returning of the Lord Jesus. And yes, they are speaking about that, but we are spiritual. And we rend the veil, brothers and sisters. And we see beyond the veil into the door that's open in heaven. And when we see into that door, we bring these things into a present day truth. Why? Why, Brother Rob, would we not want the woman to be with child and given suck at that time? Why, Brother Rob? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. It's speaking of the abomination of desolation. You say, what is that, Brother Rob? When is that going to take place? Yes, there will be a manifestation of a son of perdition. There will be a manifestation, brothers and sisters, of the Antichrist, and he will set up, and you will be able to touch him and see him and feel him the same way that you see Jesus Christ. When we think of this returning of this natural perspective to the natural Jew, and the natural Jew sets up, there will be a God that they could touch. There's a God that's going to set up rule over there in Jerusalem, and that if you don't come and worship him in Jerusalem, there will be no rain on your crops. Amen. There is going to be a God that way. And it's going to be in the same way with an Antichrist. I understand that. And when this Antichrist, in that middle of the week, and he goes in to the temple making himself to be God, yes, that is an abomination of desolation. Amen. I understand that. But that's not what's critical and crucial for you to understand. You need to understand that you are the temple of the living God. That's what the Bible says. And that it just him needs to worship in the temple. And when you let that carnality of human reasoning, that Antichrist mind of natural, and he comes in and sets up rule in your life, and the things you do, you're doing it religion, through religious understanding, and you're doing it because this is the way the forefathers done it, then you're just like the Jew. And you'll crucify Christ in this present day and hour, and you'll kill him. The Bible said, speaking about the trodding of the blood of Jesus under feet. Brothers and sisters, yes, we look back to the crucifixion of Christ, but he's still being crucified this day and hour. If we're the temple of God, and the abomination of desolation is when this man shows himself to be God, when you take through your religious understanding and your human reasoning, and you get religious, and you say, this is God speaking! And it's carnality, and it's jealousy, and it's envy, and it's God speaking in you. And you think you're going to go set rule or set a church or start a church. That's an abomination of desolation in the present day and hour. You understand, when the woman runs the household, it shows an abomination. And when you, being the woman, the bride of Christ, He said he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. We're going to say you are the bride of Christ. And when you say, I'm going to rule and I'm going to do it the way I think it's supposed to be, that's the abomination. I'm talking to you men. You're married unto Christ, he being your husbandman. You're supposed to be married unto him. You submit to him. He tells you what to do. He tells you when to do it. He tells you where to do it. He tells you how to do it. But when you're going to reason, well, bless God, I've been in church all my life. Bless God, I know the ways of God. Bless God, you're the abomination of desolation showing itself in the temple. There's no room but for one king and one ruler and one chief, and that's Jesus Christ, amen. And when you're submitting yourself to any other mind, any other voice, any other thing, then you are following after the Antichrist. Why would it be important to pray and hope that the woman wouldn't be insulted? Pray that you got God matured up in your life, amen, when this abomination comes, that you could differentiate between the Lord and the God, amen. That you could differentiate between the Son of Man and the Son of God and make the right decision. But if you're a little baby, you see, you're not going to have that ability. Pray that it's not in winter. Pray that there's fruit in your life. The Bible said instant in season, out of season. Pray that there's fruit in your life, amen. And not be a winter time of your life where the sap's down and no life given forth to stand. That's what you need to be doing, and you need to be praying for that. You're not even supposed to be in a season of winter when you're elect of God or a Christian. But some of you, the sap comes out of the tree and there's no fruit upon your trees because you're out frolicking in the world and too much of the world in your life. You see, brothers and sisters, we need to bring the scriptures to a present day truth and a present day application. We need to know that the Antichrist is already here. The Antichrist is already among us. Amen. That's what the Bible said. There's many Antichrists among you. If you cannot believe that God is, that God is in the flesh, that's what my Bible says, then you are Antichrist, amen. Quit looking for your God to come in the future. Quit talking about your God in the past. Start talking about your God that is now, the God that is alive, the God that is all power, hallelujah, the God that has never left you nor forsaken you, the God that is there on the day of trouble. How can I call on a God if I'm waiting for him to come? In some 2,000 years, he is now, he is the I am, hallelujah. Amen. He said that he promised and he gave it to us, the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power to overcome, the power to tread on the scorpions and the serpents. The powers, brothers and sisters, is in the resurrection. We are the resurrection. Did you just go get wet in your baptism? Or did you die and buried in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ and come forth as a new creature in Christ Jesus? Amen. Are you part of the resurrection? Are you a child of the resurrection today? Or are you waiting on one? Hallelujah. I am the resurrection, brothers and sisters, and I am life. Oh, Brother Rob, you can't say that. Brother Rob didn't say it. Hallelujah. Brother Rob was crucified with Christ according to Galatians, the second chapter. And Brother Rob no longer lives, but now it's Christ living and dwelling in me. Amen. Can you say that? Brother Paul said that. God's no respecter of person. Amen. What he does for one, he'll do for all. Now, if that brother said that and this Bible records it, I believe in it. It's thus saith the Lord, and it's yea and amen. And if you can't comprehend it and can't receive it, so be it. You know what? So be it if he makes one to suffer. So be it if some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So be it. Who am I to find fault with God? If he has one vessel to honor and another one to dishonor, who am I to find fault with him? I'm not. Amen. Hallelujah. He's an awesome God. He's worthy. Hallelujah. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you like this. Amen. This is your day and opportunity. Amen. There ain't going to be one person cast into the hell and the eternal lake of fire that didn't have an opportunity to make a change. Amen. And to call on a living God and say, God, fill me with your spirit. Give me your power that you promised. Amen. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, God, I know that I'm a sinner. God, I know that I'm weak. I know that I need help. God, help me. Give me the power to overcome, amen. My God isn't weak, amen. My God isn't going to be a weak God. My God's not the God that the homosexuals and the sodomites are saying, oh, he's the God of love and I love him so much. As they go off in their limp-wristed queer lifestyle, that's not the same God I'm serving. The God that I'm serving gives that man a power, amen, to put away sodomy, the power to put away alcohol, the power to put away dope, amen, the power to put away frolic, and fornication and immorality and drunkenness. It's the power of a living God dwelling, amen, in this present day and hour. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing got a hold of my heart and my spirit. Amen. There ain't no dope. There ain't nothing going to bind me down, brothers and sisters. I got the power of a living God presenting itself in this day and hour. You say, quit boasting. I'm not boasting in myself. I'm boasting in the power that He sent, the power that He promised, and the power that He gave. And if He said that we can overcome all things and that we're more than conquerors, amen, and greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world, amen, I believe what He says. And I'm testifying of Him, not me. I'm testifying of His goodness and His grace and His mercy and His strength and His power. Amen. Is it real to you this morning? Hallelujah. It's okay for the preacher to get excited, but you better get excited about having the resurrection dwelling in you. You better get excited about being life and life eternal. Amen. Hallelujah. It's okay. I could skip through this world and joy and sing. Hallelujah. Praises unto the Lord. But you better get a hold of what I've been drinking of. Amen. It don't compare to your liquor. Amen. What I've been drinking of. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, man. I've done tasted of that stuff out there in the world. I've sucked it down until it all came back up. I've sucked it down till I had my face laying in the toilet. I've sucked it down where I didn't have no recollection or remembrance of what I did the night before, and it didn't do nothing like what I've been drinking of now. Amen. And I don't desire that stuff. There ain't something in my life feel like, oh man, don't you miss that? I don't miss none of it. But if you get a hold of what I got, man, you ain't looking back at that stuff. I've had heroin in my blood veins before, amen. That ain't nothing, brothers and sisters, amen. You know, that old yearning in the flesh wants to go back to that and go back to that and go back to that. I don't want to go back to that. What I got in my blood veins, the royal blood of the Lord Jesus, is I'm addicted, amen. And I want more, and I want to go for more. I want to get in His Word. I want to praise Him. I want to worship Him. I want to love Him, amen. And I am addicted. Hallelujah. It's in me. It's part of me. Amen. And I'll never get rid of it. I can't lose it. My salvation ain't something to be taken away. It can't be taken away, brothers and sisters. There ain't no devil of hell, the Bible says, could pluck me out of the hand of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you truly have it? When you've been in and you've been out and you've been in and you've been out, then I doubt that you got it. When you get in and you get sound and you get founded on His Word, amen, and you're walking in the victory and the power of God, then you know you got it. You won't have to come up to the preacher and say, I'm not sure if I got the Holy Ghost. I'm not sure, brothers and sisters. When you're not sure, all the help, yeah, you ain't got it, amen. Because when you got it, I'll tell you what, a dope addict and you're out on the streets and you go up to the guy and say, man, let me get a little blow, a little snort, a little fix from you, you know, like that. He might put sugar there when you think it's cocaine, or he might put something else there when you think it's heroin. You know for sure when you pull that needle out if it's the real thing. Amen. And let me tell you something, you'll know you got a hold of the real thing when that God of eternal life and that God and Savior Jesus Christ is in your veins and He's running through your body. You'll know you got it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you'll be on a high that you ain't never seen before, and you won't never come down. Hallelujah. And you'll be walking in partakers of eternal life. Amen. I hate to use such filthy expressions to explain a God, but sometimes that's where you at and that's where you've lived at. And sometimes I got to come down. Jesus, when He was with the farmers, He said it's like taking a seed and putting it in the ground. Amen. And when if He was amongst the dope addicts, He would have said, let me tell you something. You know, when you was up there in La La Land and your old eyeballs were spinning around, you ain't seen nothing. Let me tell you. That's the way He'd have been talking to you. Amen. You know why I know that? Because He's talking to you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that God could deliver? Aren't you thankful that God's still in the saving business? Aren't you thankful that our God is alive and He's reigning now? Aren't you thankful that His Word is true and that He is here and He's in our presence? Aren't you thankful that we're not waiting on Him to show up? Amen. Hallelujah. Just read your Bible. That's all you got to do. Is read your Word. You understand? It says if you're on the housetop, it said don't even go down and get your clothes when you see this abomination of desolation. Don't even go down for them. Let me tell you something. When you find Satan creeping into your thoughts and into this temple of God, and you find yourself through human reasoning and carnality being manipulated by Satan, don't even try to get your business affairs in order. Don't even try to go in and get your clothes or whatever. Get with God right then. It's time to lift your hands up. Say, God, help me, Jesus. Amen. That's what you better do. Don't try to get things in order. Jesus told the man, let the dead bury the dead. What would they do to a preacher today? Hey, I'd like to go with you on that next crusade, man. But my daddy just died. You know, my dad died and I got to stay here and bury my dad. What would they say if I looked there and said, why don't you let the dead bury the dead? Let's go do something for God. You know what most of you would do right then? You'd say, man, this preacher ain't got no understanding. He's a little bit too hard. I'm going to head out. That's what Jesus said, wasn't it? How about the woman that come to him? She wanted her little child healed. Boy, he ever spoke so nice to her, didn't he? But she received the healing, didn't she? I tell you, brothers and sisters, you know, we need to not reason God out. We need to understand God. We need to understand the mind of God, the voice of God, the move of God, the blessings of God, the judgments of God, the curses of God. Oh, but Jesus said he didn't come to curse, but he came to bring life. He sure did. Amen. But let me tell you something. There's a curse, brothers and sisters, that comes forth in another dimension. Amen. Cursed is anything that hang upon a tree, and he took the curse, brothers and sisters. He didn't come to bring a curse to you. He come and received the curse. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. In another dimension, there is a curse. People that call themselves Christians will curse you through witchcraft and human reasoning. They'll curse you. They'll pray against you. They'll pray that you fall. They pray like that. That's witchcraft, brothers and sisters. You better understand what a curse is, because that's what happens. God has showed me on numerous occasions. I was in a Pentecostal church in California, and the Lord brought the Word of God to me. I preached the Word of God in the church, and the woman that was trying to run the church and use her husband as a pastor, as a little pawn, she was in witchcraft. And she was operating in witchcraft. And when the Spirit of God came and spoke, didn't like it. So they started marching around my 40-foot fifth-wheel trailer while I had my four little children in it. And they're out there in the middle of the night marching around it, speaking in tongues, trying to curse me. I was young in the Lord. I didn't understand a lot of things. I thought, man, it's time to go. No, that's time to fight. It's time to stand and not be moved. It's time to stand. I didn't understand that. But I thought the easiest thing was, dude, I backed my truck up to that thing and I hooked up that next morning and I'm heading up the mountain. I said, man, I'm out of here, praise God. Man, I'm just the happiest could be, man. We're talking about the abomination of desolation, man. There was something else in the temple telling me to run. That ain't God. There's a time when you perceive there's no understanding in a man to depart from him. I do understand that. But it wasn't the timing of God. He's not the one that told me to go. I reasoned that out in my own mind. And I'm going up the road and all of a sudden I'm thinking, wow, man, here I am. I'm heading out of here, man. Praise God. And all of a sudden I felt the urgency and all the things kind of leave. And all of a sudden I settled down a little bit. And then that still small voice started speaking. See, I was too religious. This is what we do, man. I preach the Word of God here. I blew in and I blew up and now I'm blowing out. You know, that's what I thought. But then all of a sudden the God started speaking to me. He said, who told you to go? I didn't tell you to go. You want blood on your hands, boy? That's what he told me. He said, you know what? You went into that church and you were evangelized and you were banging on doors and you compelled people to come in and you built this church up and brought those innocent people there. And now you see there's a problem there and you preach and you leave them there. Those people's blood will be on your hands. That's a wake up call. But I don't want to go back there, Lord. That woman don't like me. Boy, she didn't like me either. I imagine my dad could remember being in a couple services there. Man, I'm sitting out there and I went back. My brother asked me to preach, so I had to clear some slate. It wasn't going to be fun. It wasn't going to be easy. But I was the one that was responsible, built the flock. But they sent other elders and other people in with false doctrine and started taking it. It was an Assembly of God minister that I was working with that had been in a fall, which I was in error. I didn't understand it then. This man was off in immorality. And I said, man, let's get back up and go, man. Let's do something for God. But see, the man was still in perversion. He might have left his natural wife and ran off with this other woman. He may have done that. But he was still in perversion spiritually because he had subjected himself under to the feminine mind. Not the natural woman, the mind of his own human reasoning. That's the feminine flesh. It would take a little while to explain that to you in the mind of God, but try to take heed to the things that you hear. You don't have to be a woman to give place to a feminine mind. You masculine men with all of your macho-ness, when you're projecting your muscles and your strength and strutting around, you are the feminine mind I'm talking about. You understand that? You see, the mind of Christ is the mind of power and dominion and strength. It ain't in the human flesh. That human flesh with all of its muscles and all of its strength will melt like a candle in the presence of God. And many times it'll do it in the presence of a devil. You're not going to bully the devil around with your macho-ness. It won't happen. You better gird up some strength of the Holy Ghost, amen, if you're going to talk to the devil. You say, get you behind me, Satan. And he says, hey, Brother Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? I understand that they adjured me and made me leave, but who are you? You better find out who you are to get away from dope and drugs. You find out who you are in God when you start adjourning Satan and find out where Satan's at. Quit looking for Satan out here somewhere, man. He's in the members of your own flesh. When the sons of God came to present themselves, the Bible said that Satan was there also. Is he here today? Yes, he is. Well, which one is he, Brother Rob? Well, I say it so oftentimes. There's a door there and a door right there. And then when you walk through that door, there's going to be a big mirror looking at you. And you're going to find Satan. Oh, I can't receive that. You better. Because you ain't going to know where your warfare is at until you do. Brother Paul wrote 2/3 of his Bible. He'd come to that revelation. Oh, wretched man that I am. He didn't say, oh, awesome guy that I am. I wrote 2/3 of the Bible. Man, look at me. Praise God. Man, I'm spiritual, man. I saw these great door open in heaven. Man, I'm spiritual. No, you'd never heard him talk like that. When you heard him talk, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? That's what he said. Go read it for yourself. Who's going to deliver me from this? The very things that I want to do, I don't find myself doing those things. But the things I don't want to do are the things I find myself doing. Oh, help, man. There's war, brothers and sisters. There's your warfare right there. There's Satan and the abomination of desolation right there saying, hey, I'm going to take and use this body. Satan's going to come in. He's an invisible spirit. He can't kill. He can't steal. He can't destroy. But the Bible says he can't. Hear the end of the matter. He can't steal, kill, nor destroy. He can't rape. He can't ravish. He can't molest. He can't snort. He can't drink. He can't fix until he comes into a body. And when he comes into your body, he is a ruthless individual. He don't care about preservation of your life. He just wants to use it up. He wants to take you while you're in your youth. The Bible says serve God in your youth. He wants to take the strength of your youth. Woman, he wants to take the beauty of your physique and he wants to use it up for his frolic. He wants to put you in the bed of adultery and fornication. Brother, he wants to take your strength and use you to be a masculine man and go push your way through life for he can put you in hell. He wants to take you and get your mind that you'll get a mind of a murderer in you and you'll want to go kill. That's how Satan works. Tell me, how else would you know the works of Satan unless he was coming into a body and using it? The little mama that called herself a Christian told her God said to drown her children. That was Satan. The little wife that took the pickaxe and put it through her husband's head some 13 or 14 times because God told her to. It was the God of this world told her to. You see, it's Satan. Brothers and sisters, there's ministers all around America. You say, God sent me and I'm here because God sent me. And it was Satan that sent them. And they're doing his work. The Bible said if they preach any other gospel than what Jesus Christ preached, it said what? Let them be accursed. And we were talking about the curse a minute ago. Let them be accursed. What are they preaching? They're preaching a different gospel. There's things that you've heard all your life that's not biblical at all. Oh, but nobody's perfect, Brother Rob. That's one of the first lies you were taught at church. How many have heard that in church? The Bible says, be ye perfect even as your master is perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. He said he's perfected you by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Amen. He made you perfect. He sent the fivefold ministry, brothers and sisters, into the church to perfect the saints. Now we got to differentiate that. We've done much teaching on this, but I'm trying to perfect the works of the perfected works of Christ, the invisible things, and bring them into a manifestation in your body. I'm trying to get you to yield your body to Jesus Christ. I'm trying to let you let this God, this invisible God, live in you and dwell in you and speak through you and do benevolence through you and feed the hungry and feed the poor and do good. That's what my calling is to do, to teach you to do that. That's bringing the invisible works of God. If God's not feeding people that way, then you're serving a God that ain't worth knowing. It's like one said, where is your God at? There's little children that are starving to death. Where's your God at? There's women that are being raped and ravished. Where's your God at? Little children's throats are being slit. If your God's so good and your God's so loved, then where's he at? Well, that's a good question, you might say. He might have been trying to knock on your heart's door and saying, look at these poor, pitiful people. They need help. They're hungry. And maybe he was knocking on your heart's door saying, I need to manifest myself in this earth. It's in darkness. I want you to be a child of light. I want you to take the light of Christ and let it manifest in you to eradicate the darkness and the evil deeds of this world. Go out and do good to them. Go out and love them and bring the word of God to them. Go feed them when your neighbor's hungry. Show the love of me, he would be saying unto you. Show them my love by taking and sharing. Oh, but God, I just have enough to feed my family. Well, go eat it then and die. Isn't that what the prophet told the widow woman? But I just got enough to feed my child. I mean, one more meal. We're in a bad time of famine and drought right now. And it's a bad time. And I just got enough. Let us eat this and go and die. Well, you can do that. But he said, make me something to eat. The prophet of God said that. Make me something to eat and the meal barrel will never go dry. Boy, it sounds like a good time to take an offering, doesn't it? Man, give me your money. Man, let me get a basket out here and pastor, give me your money and your wallet will never go empty. I'd have to say there's some truth in that, but that ain't the way I preach. You don't believe in giving? Oh, sure I do. Amen. I also believe in receiving. Amen. And I'll tell you what, and my rewards come from the heavenly realms. And I thank God for them. Hallelujah. I thank God for life. I thank God for heavenly treasures. I thank God for the blessings of God. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you're walking in the blessings of God, it'll show up in your life. It'll show up on your countenance. It'll be the joy of the Lord. It'll show up in your vocal utterances because you'll have things coming forth out of your mouth that are virtuous and righteous and that are ministering grace unto the ears of the hearer. When you have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God and the power of His salvation, you'll walk different, you'll talk different, you'll act different. Amen. I tell you, my God's real. I'm glad that I'm not standing here tonight, oh yeah, back in 1970-something, I said the sinner's prayer, and I asked Jesus into my heart, praise God, I'm saved. I don't care what you say, I don't care what you believe, give me another smoke, but I'm saved. I don't care what you say, I don't care what you do, give me another snort, but I'm saved. Well, all you are, so the Bible says, you believe a lie and you're damned. What are you saved from if you're doing the things of the world, if you're snorting and drinking and smoking and immoral and filthy? Then what you saved from? Just, I'm asking you, I'm going to say, help me out. If I'm not seeing something here, what were you saved from? He saved me from the world. He saved me from the clutches of Satan. He saved me. The Bible said no drunkard, no adulterer, no fornicator is going to enter into the kingdom of God. So, I mean, when you're saved, brothers and sisters, He give you the power to overcome those things. You can't say you said some fancy prayer some 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and say that you're saved because of that. The only way that you know you're saved is because you're endured to the end. The only way that you know that you're saved, brothers and sisters, because you're walking in obedience to God. That's the power of salvation. The evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost isn't speaking in tongues. There's no Bible for that. The evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost is an obedient life in God. There's too many tongue-talking devils. I told you about the man, and not just one man. Man, I could share a whole bunch of them with you. Oh, but he's got the Holy Ghost. I heard him speak in tongues. What kind of ignorant doctrine are you in? Now, come on now. Just reason it out yourself. Just because you heard something different all your life, just reason it out. Can a man have the Holy Ghost and be an adulterer? The Holy Ghost is the power to overcome. What do we overcome? An adultery. Can a man have the Holy Ghost and be a drunk when no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God? And are you going to take the Holy Ghost out of the kingdom? Come on, it's simple, brothers and sisters. The gifts and callings are without repentance. You could speak in tongues. You could prophesy. You could work in the word of wisdom and knowledge. And you could have faith and miracles. You can have discerning of spirits, all of these things, and be lost on your way to hell because the gifts and callings are without repentance. We need to start relearning some of the things that we think we know sometimes. You know why I talk like that? Because these are the things that I heard. These are the things that I taught in early years of ministry. And thank God for the Holy Ghost to lead me into all truth. Yes, I made changes. Guess what? I'll probably make more. Hallelujah for the grace of God. Do you think you know everything? No, but I got the guy dwelling in me that does know everything. Hallelujah. I've got an unction from the Holy One to know all things. And I don't have a spirit of error. And if you think I'm in error, just get your little Bible and come to me. I'll receive you. I won't get ugly with you. I won't rebuke you. I'll receive you and say, okay, let's get in the Word and reason it out and find out where we're at. Because I could take this Word right here and I could take your doctrine and show it to you in the Word. And I could take the doctrine of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says the letter of your doctrine, the letter of the law killeth. I don't want anything to do with that one. I want to do with the doctrine of life, the word of life, the spirit of life. I want to be led by the Spirit. Amen. His word is spirit and his word is life, but the letter of the law is death. Your Bible quotes don't move me, but when you speak by the Spirit of God, it convicts my heart. It changes my life. Let me say this. We find that there's two powers, the power of light and the power of darkness. We find that there is a spirit of resurrection unto life and a spirit of resurrection unto death. The Bible talks about that resurrection where the wicked dead will stand before the Lord in judgment and be cast into eternal damnation. Where he says, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. But they said, but Lord, I prophesied in your name. But Lord, I cast out devils in your name. He said, I never knew you. I say so oftentimes, but God, how can you say you never knew me when you know all things? God, how can you say you never knew me when you said in your word that you know the number of hairs on my head? How can you say that, God? He never knew you in the marriage relationship. Jesus has got to be your husband. You got to marry unto him. You got to give up your name and take on his name. And when you take on his name, there's no other name given among men where thou shalt be saved except the name of Jesus. And when you marry unto him, you give up your old name of death. You give up your old name, brothers and sisters. And you take on his name. And you become, the Bible says, joint heirs with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it awesome to marry into royalty? I was poor. I was a beggar, but I married the King of Kings. Hallelujah. And I received everything that pertains unto life. Boy, isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I had nothing. And I married unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I have everything. Amen. There ain't nothing can be taken away from me. Nothing. Ain't no height, the Bible says, nor depth, nor principality, nor power. There ain't nothing that could take me out of the hands of a living God. Amen. Are you walking in that kind of an assurance and that kind of faith this morning, brothers and sisters? Are you walking in that? You might say that. Yeah, bless God, I'm a born-again child of God. And the Bible said, you that are born of God cannot sin. Hallelujah. And I pass from death unto life and I can't sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm a Christian. Let's go have another snort. Let's go have another drink. Let's go see if we can run us down another hose bag. You ain't serving the same God. You got the right thing to say, but the Spirit ain't emanating from you. You ain't even looking in them directions, man, when you're full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God. You say, you don't need to speak like that. I need to speak like that because America's going to hell and it's lust, brothers and sisters. Everything in America is sold by the perversion of lust. Everything is sold through that kind of mindset. That's why I got to speak like that. We got to get ourselves away from that. We need to yield this member unto Jesus only. You understand that? We need to let this life be given unto him. Now, if these spirits are looking for places, the Bible said when you cast the devil out of a man, that spirit leaves and is seeking in the dry places, looking for a place of inhabitation. So we know that these spirits, the Bible said, were encamped around about a great cloud of witnesses. We know that there's a spiritual world all around us. But these spirits, can you hear them? Oh, you can't hear them. Can you see them? Listen and look. Look diligently. Do you see them? Oh, but the Bible said they're all around about us. I hear them, brothers and sisters, and I see them. And let me tell you something. When a little child comes to me, or a brother or a sister, and they speak, and I hear God speaking through them, the oracles of heaven, and I say, there's God speaking. It might take an ass like it was in the Old Testament to rebuke a prophet, but it was God speaking. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Jesus was listening for the heavenly voice when he was here. And he said, brethren, who dost thou say that I am? One said, Elijah. But Lord, some say that Elijah. And some say this. And one said, thou art the living Son of God. Guess what Jesus just heard? He heard a voice from heaven that wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood. It was revealed to you by the Father. The invisible God that no man has ever seen had just spoken through a man. And he said, thou art the Christ, the living God. You see, he spoke. Brothers and sisters, the same God's speaking today. The same God of this world is speaking today. Satan will take and use your vocal utterance when you are sowing strife and discord and lies and gossip and envies and strife. Satan is alive and he's well and he's using your life because he came to kill, steal, and destroy. When you remove the talebearer, the strife will cease. Satan is strife, brothers and sisters. And when you yield your members over to those things, then it's Satan having his way. When you yield your members over to Jesus Christ and you say, it's no longer me living, but Jesus is now dwelling in me. He's now living in me. I give my life over to him. I say, God, use this vessel, and you're doing good to them, and you're feeding them, and you're helping them, and you're loving them, and you're doing all of those things, then Jesus is alive and he's well on the earth today. Amen. That's how he works. You say, well, I'm the body of Christ. Well, what is the body doing? It's like he's over here in a bed of adultery, found in the act, like the woman was found in the Bible in the act of adultery. The man was found in the act of adultery with another woman. His wife comes home. And the preacher says, quit playing games with God. Your husband needs to get born again. And she couldn't receive that. What do you mean you got to be born again? But I heard him say the sinner's prayer in 1590. Come on, how ignorant. You know what I'm saying? Come on, how ignorant. If you're born again, you have God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Can anybody see the Holy Ghost in a bed of adultery? Woman, wake up. Your husband needs to get saved. You know, we could talk about this great woman of faith, Mary, and how that she received this seed from God and brought forth this Jesus Christ and he come among men. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful story, but you better live it. You better become that virgin by being cleaned in the blood of the Lord Jesus and find yourself without spot, without wrinkle, and be with Jesus and let him take you into that secret chamber of the Most High God. And you better have an intimate relationship with him and receive that life-giving force, amen. And it better come into you, and you better start bringing Jesus alive. Hallelujah. Amen. And you better worship him. The Bible said the elder shall serve the younger. Your first birth, you might say, is the elder, looking at it in that dimension. And it better surrender to that inner quickening spirit of Christ inside. It better submit and say, have your way, have your rule. You lead me, you guide me. You tell me where I'm going. You tell me what I'm doing. I'm submitting all to you. I surrender all to you. I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to tell you I think should be this way. I don't want to tell you where I'm going to preach. I don't want to tell you where I'm doing or where I'm going. I say, here I am, Lord, use me. I'm giving you my life as a living sacrifice. And that's my reasonable service. And that's yours. When you want to rule your life and you want to do what you want to do, go where you want to go, work where you want to work, you're not a child of God. You're not a servant of God. And you're lost. Our God's a jealous God. And those dimensions set down all the way through. When a woman is telling her husband how they're going to live, where they're going to live, they're relocating, they're doing this, they're doing that, that woman's running the affairs, and it's the devil. Oh, come on, I got one amen. It's the devil. Only one amen? Boy, last Sunday I was preaching about when a man is harsh and cruel to his wife, they ain't nothing but the devil. I got one amen then too, and it was a little old woman said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, brothers and sisters, when you're a lady, you would hear that and say, man, this is, you know, this ain't good doctrine. It's the word. You say, I don't like this doctrine. It's still the word. But see, I preach it because I'm the woman, the bride of Christ. You've heard it all your life. He's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. I hope I'm included in that. Oh, I got it up, Brother Rob. So naturally speaking, you're masculine, a man. But spiritually speaking, you're the bride. No, you ain't got it. That ain't at all what I said. There's no male nor female in the spirit, so you got something messed up there. Where's it at, Brother Rob? The second heaven, the soul realm. It's the mediation realm. It's where Jesus came at. See, Jesus came in the sinful image, in the image of the sin nature, the Bible says. You say, well, that was my God. The God was that invisible Father dwelling within him, and he came and manifested himself in the flesh as the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but it was the image of sin. That's why it had long hair, and it's a shame for a man to have long hair. That's why it was taken on the cross and received the curse. It was smitten, brothers and sisters, and it went into hell, the Bible says. Do you understand? But he suffered not the Holy One to see corruption and brought him forth in the resurrection. Amen. Have you had your resurrection yet? Are you the resurrection power of a living God? Have you taken, mortified the deeds of the flesh? Have you killed out your mind and your thoughts and your ways and your worldly desires and let Jesus Christ live today? Amen. If not, you are the abomination of desolation. If you call yourself a Christian and you let Satan in that temple and you let him rule and you let him manifest his anger, his strife, his malice, his vengeance, his envy, and his all of the things that he has, his drunkenness and his drugs and his drinking and all those things, then if you call yourself a Christian doing those things, it's the abomination of desolation. Don't wait for the altars to open. Don't you wait to come down off the rooftop. You better get things right with God now! You understand that now? Today's the day of salvation. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself being ripped out of this life and put into eternal damnation. Amen. Let's stand together. I love you, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Love y'all. Appreciate you coming out. When you hear Brother Rob up here preaching the gospel and talking about how good I am because of my church attendance and how good I am because I preached the message or because I traveled the world or because I done something to help a preacher over here, because I laid hands on somebody and they were healed, and you hear me start boasting about those things, run, brothers and sisters, because I'm not here to receive any glory or any honor for any of those things. Amen. I'm here to say that, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Amen. And I'm here to say, if you see any good thing, because the Bible said there's no good thing in the flesh, and if you see any good thing coming forth from this man, then you give the glory and the honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, because he is a good God, amen, and he is dwelling in the affairs of humanity, and he's still speaking in this present day and hour. He's still in the saving business, the healing business, and the delivering business, amen. And I praise God that I could kill Rob Coons out and yield these members over to Jesus Christ, that it could be him speaking and speaking the things from heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you yielded yourself to God this morning? Hallelujah. Let's sing that together. Amen. And let that be our prayer this morning. Lord God, I want to surrender all to you, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't want to hold anything back. Oh God, I don't want any of my life to be seen. I only want the life of Christ to be made known and to be made manifest in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord God, in my weakness. Help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can that be your prayer this morning as the altars are open? Say, God, here I am. Use me, oh God. Clean me, oh God. Fill me with your Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Fill me with the power of salvation. Give me the authority and the power to overcome. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You say, what's wrong with you, preacher? Hallelujah, ain't nothing wrong with me. I was wondering about you, amen. You ain't been drinking what I've been drinking of. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You go out in the bars and you see them get beside themselves. Amen. I like what the policeman told me one day. He said they call that alcohol liquid courage. He said you take some skinny little punk and you give him a little bit of alcohol. It's liquid courage. He's ready to fight the cops. And they got their nightsticks. He's ready to fight everybody. Hallelujah. I got courage, brothers and sisters, but it ain't in the bottle. Hallelujah, it's in my God. The power of my salvation. The power to go through the lion's den. Hallelujah. The power to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I'm rejoicing about. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you walked through the valley of the shadow of death? Have you overcome today? Hallelujah. Have you seen 1,000 fall at your right or 10,000 at your left? You need to walk in the spirit and counsel of a living God.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.